Warning SEC. Wow, it is so great to be looking at a camera knowing that you're looking at me. Those of you that know me know my sense of humor. For those of you that don't, hey, I am Brian, Carolyn's husband. We were part of the founding team that helped launch SCC. And we're just so grateful to see God's work. And I love the fact that there are people in this room that may not be familiar with me, because that means the church continues to move forward. And that is a good and healthy thing. And so we just celebrate God's work. Love to be with you. Sweden is still very much in our heart. We're still praying. We're still making plans and reaching out. And in just a few weeks, Carolyn will be coming to Sweden, bringing a team from Pennsylvania to be doing some great things in Stockholm, Sweden. So know that even in the midst of busyness of life in the U.S., that, man, you guys are still close to our heart. So I'm actually at Calvary Orlando, and I am in their prayer chapel. And this ridiculous scene is a space that you can pray. And that highway behind me, that's I-4. That is the highway in the U.S. with the most fatalities, and I drive it at least 2 times a day. So, yes, I'm still very much living by faith. But, no, God is doing some great things in the Dunn's life. Carolyn and Madeline just came back from a mission trip to Thailand. Did a ton of ministry. Madeline shared her testimony. God did great things, and we're just super excited. So over this summer, Brandon and I got to hang out. We had some conversations. He talked about the fall's theme of being faith over fear, and that you guys are working your way through the book of Mark. And I think that's brilliant. I love that. I love the book of Mark, and I love just the simple concept of faith over fear. So I have 3 quick thoughts about fear. One, fear is only fearful when we think about it. Fear is only fearful when we think about it. And this is probably more true for guys than for ladies. And I apologize. I don't mean to be gender specific, but it's kind of gender specific. And what I mean by this is I could be, you know, in the apartment and I got to change a light bulb, but it's way up there. And I don't have a stepladder that's tall enough. So what do? I see a table. So I scoot the table over. The table's not tall enough. So I put a chair on the table. So I climb up on the table, climb up on the chair, but I still can't reach over because of the positioning of the table. So I'm hanging onto a shelf, leaning my body over the empty abyss, reach over, unscrew the light bulb, put it in my mouth, find the other light bulb in my pocket, put it back on there, get the light bulb done. And at that moment, my wife walks in and she says, "What are you thinking?" "Well, I'm only thinking about changing the light bulb. I'm not thinking about the catastrophic things that could happen if the table shifts, if the chair shifts, if the shelf fits. I'm just saying, I got to change the level. What do I have to change the level? This is what I got to do." So I move the table, move the chair, climb up on the chair, hang onto the shelf, lean over the abyss, pull the old light bulb out, put it in my mouth, grab the other, put it back in. Fear is only fearful if you think about it. So, you know, that's more of a guy thing. Now, there are times that there's an appropriate measure. Some call that wisdom. But I'm just saying, fear is only fearful when we think about it. 2, I've had this definition for many, many years. Fear is a big wall of meringue. Now, Stockholm knows how to do meringue. I love meringue. I miss meringue. You can get little bitsy pieces of meringue. You can get big pieces of meringue. You can get a meringue cake. But now I want you to picture this ominous, oppressive wall. Blocks out the sun. Not hard in Stockholm. Blocks out the sun. Hinders your path. No way around it. No way over it. There's just this big, huge, massive wall. But until you put pressure on it, you don't realize it's just a wall of meringue. Visually, it seems overwhelming. But practically, you put pressure on it. You lean in, that wall crumbles. James 4:7. Read it. Fear is a wall of meringue. And then lastly, if there is one thing that just really annoys God, I mean, just takes him to his last thread, it's when we pause the work of God due to fear. When we pause the work of God due to fear. Peter tried to stop Jesus because he was afraid. Jesus said to Peter, "Satan, get behind me." Jesus called his lead disciple Satan, get behind me. He was annoyed. No, I'm done with that. Get behind me, Satan. God told the children of Israel, they've got really tall people. So what if you've destroyed the Egyptian army? So what if you parted the Red Sea? So what if you've opened the earth and consumed a rebellion and sent fire from the sky and plagues? They've got tall people. God's like, done with you. You're just going to go take a walk in a desert for about 40 years, but I'm done with you. You're dead to me. You're dead to me. So, don't annoy God. Okay, that should be like a, nobody's putting that on a t-shirt or a plaque to hang in their living room. Don't annoy God. Yeah, that annoys him. When we pause the work of God due to fear, he doesn't like that. So let's not let that happen in our lives. So let's do this. We're going to jump into Mark 6, verses 45 through 52. And there's nothing that I think is less exciting than somebody reading scripture on video. So we're going to pause the video. And Pastor Brandon has asked somebody in this crowd sitting with you to read the scripture right now. Go.
All right. So this morning I asked Derek to read for us. So come on up, sir.
Immediately, Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to Bethsaida while he dismissed the crowd. After leaving them, he went up on a mountainside to pray. Later that night, the boat was in the middle of the lake and he was alone on land. He saw the disciples straining at the oars because the wind was against them. Shortly before dawn, he went out to them, walking on the lake. He was about to pass by them, but when they saw him walking on the lake, they thought he was a ghost. They cried out because they all saw him and were terrified. Immediately he spoke to them and said, "Take courage, it is I. Don't be afraid." When he climbed into the boat with them and the wind died down, they were completely amazed, for they had not understood about the loaves. Their hearts were hardened.
Well, I don't know what language it was read in. I hope English, but I assume everybody understood. Into that, I say amen. Amen. Amazing chunk of scripture. I'm going to hit two thoughts, one humorous, one powerful. One, I love in Mark verse 48, in this chapter 6, verse 48, Mark says this, and he intended to go past them. As a sarcastic kid, that just cracks me up every time that they send off and the storms come and he's like, you know what, I'll just meet him over there. And so he's just walking on the water. All of a sudden, like in the lightning flash, I see him like, guys, like, I think Jesus had this moment. Hey guys, you've had that moment, right? That guys, it's okay, it's me, it's okay, guys, it's okay. He intended to walk past them, but they discover him. So I just think that's hilarious. Nothing deeply spiritual in that. I just think it's funny that Jesus is like, I'm just going to get there. I'm not going to wait for them. But now here's the powerful thought. The scripture says that Jesus said, I'm reading this out of the New Living Translation. Don't be afraid, he said. Take courage, I am here. Which is an amazing statement. Anytime Jesus says, take courage, I am here, powerful. But in the Greek, there's a little cleaner translation that I think just turns the power up just a little more, and that's this. Is that Jesus says, take courage, I am is here. Oh. Ever God, Old Testament, New Testament, Father God or Jesus says, I am, amazing things happen. So I think it's more than just Jesus saying, hey, take courage. He's walking in the water. They notice him. They're freaking out. It's more than the fact that he just said, hey, guys, take courage. It's me, your buddy, Jesus. No, he says, take courage. I am is here. And I think that's That's what changes the conversation. If we jump over to Matthew 14, 28, their account of this miracle. In Matthew 14, 28, it says this, "Lord, if it's you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." "Come," Jesus said. Then Peter got out of the boat, walked on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid and beginning to sink, and he cried out, "Lord, save me." Jesus did. He did it immediately, which is pretty Jesus of him, you know? So if you don't know this, Peter was the oldest of the disciples, and in that he was the lead disciple. How do we know this? We know this because of Peter's funny fishing trip. And if you're not familiar with Peter's funny fishing trip, not the first one, not the last one. There's one in the middle. You can ask Pastor Brian, or you can also ask Pastor Eddie. Pastor, hey, Eddie, much love. You better be smiling right now. Gotcha. Okay. Brandon is just shaking his head. He's just like, that's what Brandon does. He shakes his head around me a lot. I don't know why. I think there's something warm bubbling up deep down inside of him. I bet there's a smile on his face. Okay, here we go. So if you don't know about Peter's funny fishing trip, you can ask Pastor Brandon, you can ask Pastor Eddie. They'll be able to break it down for you so that, you know, we can save this time and keep moving through as we talk about faith over fear. So as the lead disciple, Peter's responsibility is to do what his rabbi did. He was there to help physically translate what his rabbi was doing to the rest of the disciples. He was disciple number one. So this is so aligned that there's an Old Testament reference, Elijah and Elisha. There's an Old Testament reference of a disciple timing his going to the bathroom with his rabbi. That is following close. I'll let you read the scripture yourself. Again, ask the pastors. God bless you. Okay. So Peter asks this amazing question. I'm going to word it a little differently, but you've heard it in the scripture. Peter asks, "If you are the I am, then ask me to come to you." If you are the I am, if you are my rabbi, if you are my pastor, if I'm supposed to be the physical explanation, the physical, and I just lost the word, the physical translation of your life, then ask me to come. Jesus' response, and there is so much power in this, he just simply says, "Come." Jesus has no question who he is. Jesus has no confusion, no question. "Oh, you're going to ask me that question, Peter? Great question. I got a response to you. One word, come." Jesus knows who he is. Jesus knows what he's doing. If you're going to ask him that question, be ready for the answer. Do you pray believing that God hears you and that God answers? That will clean up a lot of sloppy prayers. What if God answered every prayer you prayed? Let's be wise when we come to the throne of grace, because he hears us and he answers. So, continuing to move on. Oh, I love this thought. How many miracles in the scripture and in our lives personally is Jesus simply honoring obedience over circumstances? Think about that. How many miracles in the scripture, but also in our lives personally, is Jesus simply honoring obedience over circumstances? Or in the language of our day, is he honoring faith over fear? He's a good, good father. Faith over fear. There's that wonderful verse that we all know that that it's a peace that passes understanding. And I literally had this conversation with somebody. So if this is understanding, God's peace passes understanding, and it's past it. So there are times when obedient or understanding is here, but we're here, and people are like, "How can you do that? That doesn't make sense." Oh yeah, that's because understanding is over here. I'm in peace, because I know that God honors obedience over circumstances. We continue. That's good stuff. Too often, we picture faith as the distance between faith and fear. that we are only conquerors if it's this wide expanse. But the truth is, and scripture reveals this time and time again, that you only need fractional amounts of faith more than fear. Fractional amounts, the smallest amounts. In fact, sometimes you may only have determination and a little bit of faith, but you deny fear's voice and are determined to honor God even if it ends you. God will use whatever he can to put faith, to put fear in its proper place. God will use whatever he needs to put fear in its proper place. So let me close with this. I'm going to close with a thought and a portion of scripture. God is never just doing one thing. He's doing everything on your behalf. And what do I mean? Romans 8:28. And God works all things together for your good, for those who love God and are called according to his purposes. God's not just doing one thing. He's doing many things. So as you put faith over fear, you align yourself with God's reality. Here we go. Here's the portion of scripture that I want you to hear. Job 9, verses 1 through 10. I know, a little longer chunk of scripture, but I'm going to read it passionately, and I think you're going to be pretty amazed with some of the things you hear in the scripture. Job 9, verses 1 through 10. Then Job spoke again. Yes, I know all this is true in principle, but how can a person be declared innocent in God's sight? If someone wanted to take God to court, would it be possible to answer him even once in 1,000 times? For God is so wise, so mighty. Who has ever challenged him successfully? Without warning, he moves the mountains, overturning them in his anger. He shakes the earth from its place and its foundations tremble. If he commands it, the sun won't rise and the stars won't shine. He alone has spread out the heavens, and he marches on the waves of the sea. What? And he marches on the waves of the sea. Now listen to this closing. He made all the stars, the Bear and Orion, the Pleiades, and the constellations of the southern sky. He does great things. Too marvelous to understand. He performs countless miracles. Let's align with him. Let's do this in our lives. And I close with this thought. In Jesus' day, miracles weren't extraordinary to Jesus. They were just the works of his Father. We get blown away by miracles. But to Jesus, it's just what my dad does. So let's align ourselves with God's reality. Let's live faith over fear. And let's remember these three simple things. One, fear is only fearful when you think about it, when you obsess, when you focus on it. When you make fear your focus, you lose. When you make faith your focus, you win. We win. Why? Because we align ourselves with his reality, and he's already won. He's already won. Two, fear is just a big wall of meringue. It looks ominous. It looks all-encompassing until you put pressure on it, until you challenge it. And then James 4:7 shows up in your life in the most amazing ways. And then lastly, time for that t-shirt, time for that plaque. If there's one thing that annoys God, it's when we pause the work of God due to fear. Don't hit pause. and other things that scare you, God will, the enemy will find the things that freaks you out the most. He'll find it. He'll find it. He'll put it right before you. And he's going to say, what are you going to do about that? And it's going to be, and it's going to depend on what you focus on. It's going to depend on if you're willing, if you're daring enough to put pressure on it. And lastly, if it's going to be if you make the choice to honor God or annoy God, to hit pause or to push in. Don't annoy God. God gets annoyed when we pause the work of God due to fear. Hey, Stockholm Community Church, we love you. You are a miracle. Your gathering right now is a miracle, and it's a testament to faith. I've got to move this because we're gonna pray in just a second. You started with 17 people. Your 1 year anniversary was the COVID launch weekend. We survived COVID. You exist still through a significant leadership transition, and you're still here. And this is important because I think one of the key factors in helping us overcome fear is not when we focus on ourselves, but when we think about some of the other people that are affected by our faith. And when you step forward in faith, it doesn't just bless you, it blesses those around you. It changes the atmosphere. And so we're going to close in a different way. We're going to close family style. If I were in the room, I'd be jumping off the stage. I'd be walking in the crowd with you. I want you to grab the hand of the person to the right and to the left of you. If you want to go across the aisle, that's okay. Don't worry about like going back and forth in front of the aisles with the chairs. Don't get too distracted. Just make sure nobody's standing alone. Everybody's got a hand in somebody else's hand. Now, we're going to pray in just a second, but I want you to bow your heads. And if coming today, maybe you are kicking the tires of Christianity. Maybe you've just been trying to realize and wonder and examine if God is real. And something's stirring in your heart today. There's a hope. There's a love that's stirring. And you're saying, I think I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and that he came to sacrifice himself for me and for all of humanity. And today you want to start, or you want to significantly restart your relationship with God. This is what I want you to do. I just want you to squeeze the hand of the person to the right or to the left of you. I just want you to squeeze their hand. And I want you, you're just by that squeeze, you're letting them, that's me. God, that's me. If you were here, God, I'd be squeezing your hand. I need you, and I want this. This is the love and the life I've been looking for. Hey, we're going to pray as a group. We're going to pray as a family. And then I'm going to got one more prayer after this. But for anyone and everyone that squeezed their hands, I want all of us to pray because this is family style. Will you pray with me, asking Jesus Christ into our hearts? Dear Jesus, I love you. I need you. I believe that you are the Son of God, that you lived your life perfectly, and you sacrificed yourself for my sin. Bring me into full relationship with Father God. Fill me with your love. Fill me with your truth, and help me live for you until I see you face to face. In Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Hey, if you did that, if somebody squeezed your hand, then you have to make sure they have a Bible. You have to like get their name, get their phone number. You have to let them know that they are family and they got to come back. And you are so excited because what God is going to do, because I promise you this, in 1989, I prayed that prayer. I had no plans of becoming a pastor. I just didn't want to have the life that I had then. But that prayer can set you on an amazing path of journey, of faith, of discovery, of purpose. And so family, we got to come together. We got to help each other. But before, let's do the grab hands one more time. We're going to close in prayer, but now we're going to pray about faith over fear. We're going to pray about Peter walking on water. We're going to pray about God honoring obedience over circumstance. Jesus, I know. I know that each and every person in this room is operating in faith. But Father God, the enemy is the father of lies, and he likes to intimidate, and he likes to challenge, and he likes to just try to make us run away. But God, we're here. And may your word today find its home in our hearts. May your word establish itself so that we can see through the fear and we can see you. That Father God, in Jesus' name, that we wouldn't obsess, we wouldn't focus on fear, but we'd focus on that one thing we need to get done. That one thing that we need to get done with you, for you. And if it's just something as simple as you standing on the water and calling us to come on the water, we're not going to focus on the water. We're going to focus on you. And Father God, in Jesus' name, when fear feels overwhelming, may we put pressure against it. May we challenge it. May we punch it and watch it crumble before us. And lastly, God, we don't want to annoy. We want to bring joy to your heart. We want to bring joy to you. And so, Father God, we thank you for your word today. God, we thank you for a church like Stockholm Community where we can gather together in this lost, lonely city and find hope and find joy and find spiritual family. Father God, may we walk out of here today, not just conquerors, but your scripture says in Romans 8 that we are more than conquerors. May fear crumble before us like dried out meringue. In Jesus' name, amen. SEC, I hope you can hear the love of my heart for each and every one of you. I hope you can hear my love for your pastors. We love Brandon and Angela. We love what God is doing in the Derek family. We love you guys. And we believe great days are ahead. We can't wait for the time that God brings us back to you. We don't know when that day will be, but Sweden is still in our hearts. Stockholm is still in our hearts. And you are still in our hearts. And so we pray that this word finds home in your hearts. And we love you in Jesus' name. Amen.